Let's pray. Father, I'm just so grateful and thankful for this privilege of being able to bring your word this morning. I pray that, Lord, that you'll cause me to remember everything you would have me to say, that they would be the words that you would speak into the hearts of your people this morning, that it will accomplish everything that you purpose it and set out to do. It will prosper in the hearts that, Lord, that receive it this morning, Father. So, Lord, it's your time, it's your people, it's your church. Please have your way amongst us this morning. And I ask this in your precious name. Amen. Amen. A couple of weeks ago, I brought a message to you, make disciples. And I want to sort of just continue that a little bit in some form, but add a little bit onto the end of it also, because we talked about some mountaintop experiences, and that is that he gave them power. So if you have your Bibles with you, let's just remind ourselves, please, of the Great Commission scripture in Matthew 28, verses 16 through to 20. Then the 11 disciples went away to Galilee, to the mountain which Jesus had appointed for them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and in earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." The Great Commission, and a lot of people understand that and know it, is go and make disciples of all people, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Spirit, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things, making disciples. You know, it's difficult sometimes for us to put ourselves into this, but you know, Jesus spent time, a lot of time, encouraging his disciples after the disappointment of the cross, and took them aside and spent some time encouraging them and lifting them up. And maybe this morning you're a bit discouraged with a few things, and I hope that this message will just lift you up and encourage you this morning to know that you can be included in this great story and plan of salvation that God has got for this earth. It might be somebody in your family, it might be yourself, it might be a neighbor, it might be some work colleague, but somewhere along the line, you know, it's not just about the preachers who stand in the pulpit and preach the message of the sermons, to preach the sermons to the people. Because I can have as much trouble understanding my part in this as you would. I can get as uncomfortable in what I ask you to do as you would perhaps if you were to come up here and do this morning. So we're in this together. This is a collective thing as a church. And when we say that Jesus took his disciples alone and appointed them place, he took them to that mountain place. He took them to a mountaintop. And isn't it great when we have mountaintop experiences where we can just... Everything seems, you can see everything. Maybe sometimes it's a day of faith and you can just see things the way that God's got everything planned and the way things are turning out. And he lifts us up. It's away from all the distractions of life. There's a lot of things that distract us in life, isn't it? And sometimes it could be just even the things that are closest around us. I know we've got to work. I know we've got to live in our families. But to get that alone time with God is really good, isn't it? To get alone to that mountain place. Where your mountaintop is, I don't know. You know, it could even be the broom cupboard in your house, couldn't it? It could be that tiny little closet. Could be your kitchen. Could be your car driving to work or coming home from work. It could be that coffee that you have with a friend that just encourages and you lift it up. Wherever it is, there's no set pattern or format this morning for allowing God, because the main thing is, it says that Jesus led them to the mountain place. So why don't we allow Jesus to lead you? Why don't you allow Jesus to lead you to a place where he can inspire you and fill you up this morning to believe that you can be included in this great story. It's quite powerful, the message. Make disciples. Go on, get on with it. This is what your role is. This is what the Great Commission is. This is your plan and purpose for your life. I have every confidence in your ability, and I know that you will succeed with my help, the Lord says. I shared you a bit of a fable from a book that John Aldrich wrote in his Lifestyle Evangelism book. It tells a story of Gabriel's doubt when he's looking on at things, of how things were going. And in man's ability to carry out the Great Commission with any level of success, and surely, Jesus, surely men will forget all about you. Yeah, he probably would, wouldn't they? Surely they will fail. You know, you've got to have a better plan than this to rely on that lot. You've got to have a better plan than this to rely on Moriah Christian Fellowship to make any difference in Ustra Munnock. Because, you know, they just come to church on Sundays, they go home and they live their lives and they do it. You know, they're just going to fail. They're a bunch of, excuse me for saying this morning, they're a bunch of misfits. You look like horror on your faces there. Isn't that how the world would look on us? They say, well, what chance has that little church on the hill got up there? What chance have they got of making any difference? There's only a handful of people go there. Well, listen, Jesus only took a handful of disciples up to the mountaintop and took them through an experience that would carry them not only through the end of their ages, but into eternity, and would carry down the corridors of time to this church here today, so that we can look and examine this passage of scripture and say, hallelujah, Lord, thank you for taking me to that mountain place, that high place, when I experienced something with you. Amen. Linda shared with me in the week, I think it was Linda, about the church down in the Elim church down in Caerphilly, that they've outgrown their building size. Hallelujah! Did you hear what I just said? They've outgrown the size of their building and they're looking for another building because there's too many people that go and they've had to split their services. Now I could look on and think of that. Flipping people down there. Why isn't it happening up here? And then after I thought that for a split second, I told myself off and said, hallelujah! God is working!
Amen.
And wherever he wants to work and whatever it is, you know, if they're doing something right, God bless them, because people's lives are being transformed. Maybe people down there are being encouraged more than people up here. I don't know. But it's the same word of God we preach. It's the same gospel that we preach. You see, they are making disciples. Now, I don't compare church to church or whatever. That's not what it's about, because I know it's the same God in that church as it is in this church, as it is in the world. And I know that God will work when his people are willing. In the day of his power, it will happen. And we speak it and we see it in faith this morning. But maybe we need to get to that mountain place. Maybe we need to get to that mountaintop and have that experience today. Jesus, surely men will forget you. You sure you haven't got a plan B? Much the same opinion that the world has for us today. You know, just that lot. What chance have they got? And Jesus replies in this fable to Gabriel and says, I haven't made any other plans. I'm counting on them. So, you know, you look around this morning and you look at the person next to you and think, they'll do it. They'll be the one. You look up the front and they'll be the one. It's the evangelists, the pastors, the preachers, the prophets, whatever it is, all down to them. You look and look again at the person next to you and they're looking at you thinking, well, it's them. Maybe it's you. So we can look at each other and be going, it's us this morning. Hallelujah. I'm counting on them. You see, this is the truth, that God will use ordinary men and women to do extraordinary things. And already twice this morning, this scripture that I'm going to share next with you, I think we spoke about it when I did preach that, but I'll just pop it in again. It's in Philippians, chapter 2. It was, I've seen it twice this morning. Oh, you prayed it. You prayed it when we were praying this morning, Julie. And then it came up on one of our overheads. It's, could you skip back through? I'm not sure what song it was. It was on the picture, so we'll see it when it comes up on the picture. Keep going. It'll be there somewhere. There it is. There it is. That is it. Philippians 2, 10 and 11, where it says that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven and those on earth and those under the earth, that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is the Lord, to the glory of God the Father. That's a pretty remarkable statement to make, and it could easily be dismissed as like, ah, oh, that's just a pipe dream. That's just a wishy-washy hope that it'd be nice if everything did come out. But you see, all scripture is inspired by God. All scripture. So you see, when you look at that this morning, that is a truth. There is no way that can fail. This is not some wishy-washy pipe dream of a man that has put that up there and thought that, oh yeah, it'll be alright. This is the word of God, and we trust and rely, as that other song said, trust and obey this morning. We trust and rely upon the word of God. One day every knee will bow. It's not beyond God's capabilities. It will happen. It's happening around us, as I just shared with that church down in Caerphilly. It's happening in other places where there's great outbreaks of revival coming, and revival begins in our own heart. Let me tell you, there's been a stirring in my own spirit over the last couple of months since I had that episode. God is dealing with me and stirring up my spirit and causing a revival and a passion to fall back in love with my Savior again, once again, as I did whenever it was. I don't know, you look back and you go, wait, what? I didn't even know I lost it. Sometimes we don't know that we lost something until we get it back. Does that make sense this morning? Revival begin, hallelujah. So you see, from now, and there's another one, until one day, there was another song we sang, one day when heaven was filled with his praises. If it's filled with his praises, then something must have happened upon this earth. Hallelujah. You see, for that scripture to be true this morning, and I know it is, because it's the word of God, and I stand upon the word of God, then saints of God at Moriah, we didn't leave it to someone else to sort out. God didn't dismiss us and say, what a bunch of plonkers, they're never going to do anything. It is you. He has called us. So for that scripture to be true, you must have done something. You sat here today because somebody somewhere along the line spoke the word of God into your life and spoke the gospel, and it transformed your life. It happens. Don't rest, or don't think that the church is dead or that God's not moving. God is alive. Hallelujah. And he's here this morning just to encourage us and to lift us up. Take us to the mountain. Take us to that place where we can believe once again, Lord. So it is hard for us to understand, but plan A includes the likes of mere mortals. And sometimes it takes a little bit more persuasion. We can look at Sister Doubtful or Brother Doubtful, but you know the word can change that, Sister Doubtful and Brother Doubtful, into Sister and Brother Hopeful again. Hallelujah. And look and just turn away from patterns and things of the past to believe. Hallelujah. A few more, a bit more encouragement. That's the message of the word. That's the what happens from the front. That's my part in all of this, is to encourage you through the word of God and to remind you of some truths in the Bible, some truths that God loves you. That's a wonderful truths in the preaching and teaching that Linda brought last week. Some of it lines up with this morning also. But you know, a few more mountaintops, a little bit of outside help. The question is, Lord, am I helping you or are you helping me? That's weird. I wonder if you ever thought of that one. And where do we look when we need the answers? Well, where we look when we need the answers is the word of God. Let's just quickly look at a few scriptures that I noted down on that particular point. Psalm 68:35. If you're making notes. Oh God, you are more awesome than your holy places. The God of Israel is he who gives strength and power to his people. Amen. He is our strength and our power this morning. This is not about us, but is everything about what God can do to us. He is our confidence. Turn to Proverbs 3 and verse 26. Proverbs 3:26. For the Lord will be your confidence and will keep your foot from being caught. Your confidence this morning, if you're somebody that suffers from the lack of confidence, don't worry about it. Just yield it up to God this morning and trust and rely on the truth of this scripture where he says that God will be your confidence. And he says that Lord will be your confidence and will keep your foot from being caught. You know, there's no trips. There's no falls. God's not given us a great commission so that we will go off, make a start, and then fall along the way. There's no tripping up along the way. There's no somebody grabbing your heel and trying to yank you back. There is only one way, and that way is forward. Hallelujah, with the gospel. That way is forward with Jesus. That way is forward to success. God is your confidence this morning. Do you believe it? Hallelujah. Tell yourself, God is my confidence. Tell yourself, God is my confidence. Hallelujah. He is my strength and my power. He is my confidence. And this morning, he is my guide. Psalm 32, verse 8. I will instruct you and teach you in the ways you should go. I will guide you with my eye. Hallelujah. How can we but fail? How can we not succeed this morning? We cannot fail this morning. With a God of all strength and power, who is without confidence, that is an addendum that he put onto the Great Commission, that he says, all power and authority is given to me. And at the end of the verse he says, I'm not going to leave you, just go and do this on your own. He said, lo, I am with you to the end of the age. I am with you, I am with you, I am with you. I'm not going to desert you. I'm not going to give you this this plan and then suddenly back off and leave it all on my own, on your own to do. I will be your strength and power. I will be your confidence. I will be your guide to teach you, to instruct you. That word means, it means to point. You know, sometimes I haven't got a clue where I'm going. We look at the Bible and it says that Jesus Christ is the cornerstone. The cornerstone sets the direction of any building. The cornerstone of Jesus Christ sets the direction and purpose for your life this morning. Hallelujah. Lay your life upon Jesus and not upon men, and you will have the right purpose and direction for your life this morning. It is to point the way. The primary meaning is to shoot straight. Hallelujah. Shoot me straight, Lord. Straight into the hearts of men and women with the word that you give me. As I open my mouth and I preach the gospel, it will be received in the right places. It's to direct the flow. Where's the church going? Is it going this way? Is it going that way? Is it being directed by the Spirit of God? That's the most important thing. Are we an inspired church this morning? Are we a church that preaches and teaches Christ crucified for forgiveness of sins? That is the direction. That is how we're going to make disciples. By preaching the word of God and having the anointing of the Holy Spirit that will carry it into the hearts of men and women who will transform them. That's what saved my life. That's what saved me. The preaching and the teaching of his precious holy word. That's what saved you this morning. It wasn't just enticing, nice, pretty, fluffy words that somebody stood here and said, oh, you look great this morning. You're a really good person. No, you're not. I'm not gonna, you notice I didn't say you don't look good. But you're not a really good person. I will speak the truth and say that you have all sinned. We have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Praise the Lord. Here is the truth. Here is the truth that shall point you in the right direction this morning. The truth comes from Philippians. It's 4:13 that says to you, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And the church echoes back and says, I can do all things through Christ which strengthen me. And I stand in the pulpit this morning and I speak the word, and it's the word of God that comes to you and says, you can do all things through Christ which strengthen you. Listen to the word of God. Not just the words of man. Listen to the powerful words of God that speak, and it will direct the flow, hallelujah, of where his church and where you are going as his people. He gave them power. You see, without the Lord working in our lives, we have, as Gabriel remarked, no chance. Not a chance. I won't add the other bit onto it, but we haven't a chance of doing anything. Please, turn with me to Ephesians chapter 6, verses 14 to 20. I've stuck my sticky note on it. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, take a shield of faith with which you are able to quench the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always, with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Interceding. There's a big thing there. Prayer. The need for prayer, for God to break through on our lives. Without prayer, we can't do anything. Without the power of God, we cannot do anywhere. Elsewhere in Scripture, Paul asks the church to pray for various different things along his life. Whether it's for the hospitality, whether it's to greet this, whether it's to do that. Plenty of things. But where he asks for prayer. In this Scripture, he specifically asks for prayer because he wants to speak the mysteries of the gospel fearlessly. I want to preach it fearlessly. I don't want to be in fear at all. So you know, when we sit here this morning and we link that up with I can do...
so why would God use me? You know, as soon as I said the words that you are the one that is called and chosen, as soon as I say that you are the one that is elect, you've got that "ah, but" in your heart, and that doubt creeping into your mind. You see, that's what happens. That is the nature of man, but we are called to overcome that this morning. And it's encouraging to know that Paul should feel in need for such prayer. You're talking about the guy who was probably the best preacher that next to Jesus that there ever has ever been, that spoke the word of God. Paul was a great speaker and a great teacher. But you see, he was also aware how easily it would be, how he could use the excellency of the words that he could use to just trim a little bit of the gospel. Yeah, just trim a little bit off there. Little snip. I won't tell them about that bit. They don't need to hear about that bit. Oh yeah, leave that bit in. Yeah, they're doing great. He could use words to entice people. He could use words and just so it is easily just to leave bits off. That's not the preacher that I know. That's not how to make disciples. And you see, as people and as Christians today, we must not fall into the trap of compromise, because that's what that is. It could be compromise. To get around the bits that his hearers would find offensive. He would not be able to. He would not be made into a people pleaser. That's the point I'm trying. He would not compromise the truth of the gospel, because that's not how we make disciples. You know, we could just so easily just get a group of people here together and just be called a fellowship. Because all fellowship is the fellowship of the Lord of the Rings, isn't it? It's just a bunch of dwarfs running round. That's all it is. Just a bunch of small people. So I'm not supposed to say dwarfs. a bunch of fellas running around. It's just a fellowship, isn't it? But a Christian fellowship is gathered together with a purpose of doing something. And that is to preach the gospel and to make disciples. He would not compromise. There's a scripture that Linda spoke last week in John that when she spoke, I thought, oh, I'm going to use that next week because I like the sound of that. It's John 12, 42 to 43. And it says, "Nevertheless, even the rulers of the many believed in him, but because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. For they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God." Oh, you see, those who love the praise of men will trim the gospel. Those who can't stick to the truth will just trim the gospel and the gospel truth, and in doing so will deceive people. I'm not here this morning to deceive you. I'm here to deliver the truth to you. I'm not here as a pastor and a minister that will just be a people pleaser, will say words to you that will just encourage you, "Oh, he's a nice fella." We'll speak the truth. And sometimes it could offend. But you see, I want the same as Paul did. I want to be able to speak it. Paul knew that to preach the gospel faithfully, he had to preach it fearlessly. This morning, brothers and sisters, when you're in situations and you're sharing the word of God, to preach it faithfully, you must preach it fearlessly. And it's not in an arrogant sort of in-your-face style. That's not what, you know, some religions do that. But that's not what Christianity is about. But it's without fearing what his hearers would think of him. Or even more so, in some places, particularly when Paul, what they would do to him. "They'll cut me off. I won't be in their little gang of friends anymore." Could be, couldn't it? Well, do it then, because perhaps they shouldn't be your friends in the first place. You're not here to make friends. The gospel is not to make friends, it's to make disciples. Amen? It's a truth, we've got to get it into our spirit. You see, because if that's the spirit of churches that are growing and making disciples, maybe it isn't here. I don't know. This is not telling you off, this is encouraging you to get to a place where you can believe, "Come on, let's make disciples. I want to preach the gospel fearlessly." I'm included in that. Because like I said to you, I can confidently, without fear of you running up to me and bashing me on the head now or walking out. There's a few people who walked out during my sermons, I must admit, for the years. But I'm not afraid of what you might think of what I'm delivering this morning, because I know where your heart is. But what if you were a group of non-Christians who sat there with the same thing? What about my work? Well, if I tell him, he might not want to come out with me on patrol anymore. He might not want to do that with me. It's very difficult, isn't it? But you could just hold back. And I want what Paul had. You see, and the reason he said, well, this isn't anything of me. This is why I'm asking for prayer, said Paul. Because I want to preach it fearlessly. This is why I'm asking you for prayer, so that we can preach it fearlessly. This is why you should turn to the person next to you and say, I need prayer because I want to share fearlessly. But I want to do it faithfully to the word of God, because I have that deep desire and burning to make disciples. For all manner of people to come to church. I actually went Christmas shopping yesterday. Oh, that was a delight. I was actually a bag carrier. But you know, in the shopping centres, I don't know if you noticed them, fellas, but they dotted around the different shopping centres, they have what we call man benches. They are big slabs of wood which are purposely put there for men to sit on while the ladies go into the shops and then come back out again. And you see that they're in the same place. So that wherever the man sits, the woman goes into the shop and she comes back out and her beloved is still there to carry the extra bags. So, you know, those men turn into pack horses and donkeys as we carry on. But no, seriously, I loved it, and it was a nice experience. I never used to like it, but now I want to get involved in these things because I'm married. And and I want something for Christmas as well. But I really do enjoy. Actually, I just sat on my man bench and I was praying for the souls that went past me, strangely enough. And I thought, and I was contemplating on this message. Shall I jump up fearlessly and start telling people, you need to be saved. Don't go in our shop. You don't need to spend that much for Christmas. Let me check your bank balance. No. But sorry, I missed the point of what I was saying today. We came home on the train and there was a lovely fella on the platform that he just looked a bit confused and a bit worse for wear, didn't he? But my heart just went straight out to him. He just wanted to get to Lambraddock, and he was going on a date from Cowbridge, and he was a bit mixed up and scrambled, and I thought, I've seen that man before. And I don't want to stereotype people, but he looked like an ex-con. I thought, I hope you don't ask me. I thought, you know what I'm... But in looking like an ex-con, he had such a... I was just drawn to him. And I don't know what it is. I seem to be drawn to a couple of people. And I want that in the church. I want our church to have that same heart of compassion and drawing for the lost and the lonely, of those who look vulnerable, of those that look as if they haven't got it together. And see what, and then just allow God, bring them in. Bring them in, Lord, and we'll share the gospel message with them, and maybe they will get saved. Hallelujah. I diverse, but it's not an arrogant sort of way. And but today, you know, I think that we could possibly face the same dilemmas as Paul, which is why we too need to stand in need of intercessory prayer. So how do you think that Paul dealt with issues raised in Romans? The children, you know, I don't want to go into it, but Romans deals with the immorality. So tag on to that all the immoral things that you know that go with that, please. I'm not repeating any words here this morning. But I can mention, so how do we talk to people about that? Very difficult, isn't it? See, well, Paul was faced with the same things. He said, well, maybe he stopped and he thought, well, before I address the Roman church, I need God's wisdom and guidance on it. I need the words of God on this. Right? Because I need to address it. They need to be corrected. They need to be spoken in a fearless way, but in a faithful way also. So, you know, how do we talk about money to a rich man? It's difficult, isn't it? And we can ask this question, you can say, well, yeah, every situation may be different. You see, all we need to do is think of your lifestyle for Christ or Christ's lifestyle, and then think of everything that is contrary to that. And when we come across that, how do we deal with it? That's a great question. But I think James answers it in James 3 and 17, where he says, but there is a wisdom that is from above, which is first pure, then peaceable, then gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy, good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Now the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. That's a good one, make in peace. We're not called to keep the peace, we're called to make the peace, just as we're called to make disciples. But that's the key to it, isn't it? It's a wisdom that will bring it, and it'll be with peace and gentleness. And Paul himself knew enough to know the power and the dangers of preaching for popularity by asking for prayer. And in doing that, you see, he admits his fears. There's nothing wrong with that this morning, is there? I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. To admit that I actually need something outside of me to come along and to come in me this morning to make this work. And by asking for prayer, he admits his fears and secures that heavenly intervention. So that was part of the first mountaintop experience. The second mountaintop experience, if you turn with me please to Acts chapter 1. Verses 4 to 8. And being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard from me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, it is not for you to know times or seasons which the Father has put his own authority, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea, Samaria, and to the end of the earth. Amen. Hallelujah. What a wonderful passage of scripture that is. The last words that Jesus would speak to his disciples before he ascended. They had to make a difference. I wonder what your last words would be to somebody. I don't know. I'm going to get morbid now. You're not going to croak it now in the service. But what would your last words? They had to make a difference. It was almost as if they say, well, look, I've been with you all of this time. I'm encouraging you and speaking the right words to you and lifting you up. I'm taking you to the places. I'm taking you through experiences. But he was preparing them probably for a time that he wasn't going to be there. And you need something extra. We need something outside of ourselves this morning, saints of God, for this to work. Some of them were still believing that Jesus could restore the kingdom, the Davidic kingdom of David, of all power and authority, which was all about brute force and just taking things. But that's not the kingdom that Jesus came upon the earth to preach. He spoke and he preached about one that was full of peace. Were they just expecting him just to click his fingers and make everything all right? And one of my challenges to you this morning would be, you know, Lord, just make it happen. Is that what they're saying? Come on, click your fingers, Lord, make it happen. Are we as a church just saying, Lord, come on, just click your fingers, make it happen, like the church down the road, so that we know you love us as well? Come on, Lord, you can do it. You can do it. Still may be the mentality for Christians today, just looking to God to click their fingers and to put everything right. What does that make it? That just makes it easy, doesn't it? And that's not what this is all about. And it's not about making it as difficult as possible either. It's about allowing God to work in us. So you know, it's not us helping God do his bit, it's God in us doing the work this morning. Lord, you're the one with all the authority. Yes, yes it is. I am the one with all the authority. As Linda brought out, you know, all the power and authority is given to me. So why aren't you doing it then? All our power and authority is given unto me, and I now give it to you. The Holy Spirit shall come upon you and you shall have power. That power that God has given me. Throughout most of human history, no one received power. You either rose to it by earning it, and we know now that's not the case for us today because we know that it's by grace we are saved. Or you took it by force, either at the point of a sword, battles, or at a spear. And today, you know, it would be this, we see nations just, you know, it's all either what you earn, you rise to power. Okay, there's the gifted few that have it as an inheritance. Maybe there's a back end of a message that there should be for our inheritance in Christ this morning. But most of the time it's rising to power through earning it, or we say just by violence, through taking it through guns and bombs and terrorism around the world. You shall receive power, that scripture said. You shall receive it. That word, and I just kind of keep it as simple as I possibly can. There's a lot of different definitions this morning, but just keep it for you to receive it this morning, hopefully, and that is accept. Just accept it. That is it. Just accept it. You don't have to do anything for it. It doesn't cost anything? No. I don't have to earn it? No. I don't have to fight for it? No. Stand still and see the battle, because the Lord will fight it for you today. Because when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, just accept what comes with Him. It is the power and authority to carry out this great commission that God has given us. Here's my plan, and here's my power, here's my ability, here's my confidence, here's my strength to carry it out. In you. I should put a smile on your face. There's a song, right? No, I won't sing that Roland Keating song. Is it? Yeah, something like that. That should excite us this morning. That God has chosen us and equipped us. Because you see, a man without the Holy Spirit is a man without power. We looked at Paul to see an example of a man who needed to ask for prayer. It may surprise you, I'm going to look at Jesus to see that there's a man with no power. John 5:19 first says... No, it's not. I'm on the wrong. Oh, have I lost that one? Is it 19?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I was reading 18. Sorry. Then Jesus answered and said unto them, most assuredly I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself but what he sees the Father do. For whatever does the Son also does in like manner. And in 5:30 also, he says, I can of myself do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is righteous, because I do not seek my own, but the will of the Father who sent me. A man without the Holy Spirit is a man with no power. There's examples there from Jesus. But when the Spirit came, Jesus accepted the gift from the Father. Luke 3:22. Nope, got that one wrong as well. Tabs are going. It's because I wrote the wrong page. Look at the right page, Andrew. 3:22. Yes. You're probably there quicker than me this morning, aren't you? These little sticky things are not working for me this morning. And the Holy Spirit descended in a bodily form like a dove upon him, and a voice came from heaven which said, you are my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Ah, hallelujah. The birth of the ministry of power. On that day when the Holy Spirit just came and rested. The dove is a symbol of peace. No fighting, no argument, no power. He didn't have to earn it. He didn't have to fight for it. It was just a gift of the Father this morning. And the gift of the Father this morning for you is the gift of the Holy Spirit. Right here, where you sit right now, whether you've experienced it or not, the fullness of the Holy Spirit can come and be received into your life. Just hold your hands up in the air and just say, Holy Spirit, come right now. And the same words from heaven will come. This is my Son, my daughter, in whom I am well pleased. What more? Approval do we need this morning? You see, a man with the Holy Spirit is a man with power. Today, when we accept the Holy Spirit, the ministry of power can be born into your life. This isn't about building up kingdoms of men and women, but it's about adding in to the kingdom of God this morning. What can I bring to the kingdom of God this morning? Well, you can bring the Holy Spirit in you to the kingdom of God. And you can make disciples. Hallelujah. The power to speak the words of life, as Paul did, faithfully and fearlessly. Jesus, a man of power. You believe that anything is possible? Do you believe that anything is possible this morning? Do you really believe it? Or is there still some doubt, some niggling doubt? Well, I can believe for this. Well, Father, I believe, but help my unbelief this morning. And with that, I receive your Holy Spirit, who will just put to naught all the things, the negative things of my life, and just fill me with a confidence this morning in Jesus' precious and wonderful name. Because this is the Great Commission. This is what he would have us to do, and it's in Luke 4:17-22 this morning. Matthew, Mark, Luke, where am I going? And he was handed the book by the prophet Isaiah, and when he opened the book, he found the place where it was written, "For the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and to recover the sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who were oppressed, and to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." Then he closed the book and gave it back to the attendant and sat down. And the eyes of all who were in the synagogue were fixed upon him. And he began to say to them, "Today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." So all bear witness to him and marveled at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth, and they said, "Is this not Joseph's son?" Hallelujah. What a thing to do. To speak. That was speaking faithfully but fearlessly, isn't it? "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me." He just took the book up. This is about me. This is all about me. This is all about Jesus. Your life this morning is Christ. It is all about Jesus Christ. This is how we make disciples. The purpose of the church today: to pick up the book of God, to see where our names are written in there, to open it up and say, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me." Not the spirit of man, but the Spirit of God is upon me. Wouldn't it be great for us to be known as a church full of the Spirit of God? There's a woman full of the Spirit of God. There is a man full of the Spirit of God who has left the spirit of men and women behind. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. To minister as Jesus did to disadvantaged, dysfunctional people, which we went through just now, and the list is endless. To preach the gospel to the poor. Send them in, Lord. Send in the poor in spirit, not just the poor in, they got nothing in their bank accounts or their back pocket. The poor in spirit who are low. Send them in, Lord. Send in those who are broken hearted, those who are beaten up from life's issues, Lord, because you have a ministry here. There are people here full of the Holy Spirit who have ministered to them, and bring them to that place where you will lift them up from the pit and just bless them abundantly this morning. To proclaim liberty to captives, those who are shackled in bondage, those who are shackled in sin, we preach that life-changing message of the gospel of the Lord Jesus. Bring them in, Lord, because we have a church here which is full of your Spirit. And we speak it in faith. Amen. Hallelujah. Because the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Because the Spirit of the Lord is upon us. Let's start not only to speak it, we go past speaking it to believe it. We go past speaking and believe it to actually ministering the precious gifts of the Holy Spirit. If we're wondering why some things don't happen sometimes, it's because we're not allowing God to do it. Lord, forgive us this morning for the things that we've been doing in our own strength. And we pray that you would just come this morning and bless us. Hallelujah. We open up the book of life and you find your name in it. As I open up the book of life this morning, and I was just reminded in Isaiah 43:1, "But now this, thus saith the Lord, who created you, who created me and you, O Jacob, and he that formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by your name. You are mine." Find it in there, where you are called. where you can understand with Jesus knew his purpose. Do you know your purpose this morning? It's to make disciples. Not by any tricks, not by eloquent words, but by preaching the power of God. And you see, when you receive the Holy Spirit into your life, those words that you've been speaking to people, but I've been doing it. I've been doing it, you may stand and sit there and speak this morning. And say, but I tried it, it doesn't work. Peter said that when the Lord said to him, chuck your net over the side there and see if you don't get a big catch. I've been labouring all night in the dark. There's your answer. You've been labouring in the dark. Come and allow God to work in the light. And chuck in the net, because you'll be astounded at the catch that will bring up. That it will be full. There was too much for the ship. They had to go and get another one. They had to open up another church. They had to open up another church. They had to get an extension on their building. They had to go on and on and on and on. Nevertheless, Lord, no more negativity, no more doubt. I'm going to become a woman of faith. Well, no, I better rephrase that. I'm going to become a man of faith. But I was looking at women when I said it, because I wanted you to say the same things. Can you believe it this morning? Don't pray if you're a woman to be a man of faith, no. A people of faith. A man and women full of the Holy Spirit. Because without it, we'll just plod along, and church will carry on meeting. We may catch a few tiddlers. That's not what God wants for us. He would have us to preach it faithfully and fearlessly. Hallelujah. Little insignificant, forgotten one of Moriah, I have chosen you and called you. And I felt like that a lot of times. Insignificant. What difference can I make? And then God reminds you, you get back in there and you encourage that group of people that I've given you. And you pastor them and you look after them. Because you or your faithful in the little will be master over a few. And I've been corrected on that quite a few times in the course of ministering here. Now receive the power to carry out my purposes for your life. Those who heard marveled. Oh, wow. You know, they marveled at him when Jesus picked up this book and said, that's me there. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. You see, because it wasn't just the words that he spit out. You stand up, void of the Spirit of God, your words will fall to the ground. And people will look at you and dismiss you. You see, they had no alternative but to look on there and be, wow. Isn't this just Jacob's son? They marveled at the words that he spoke. Why? Because they were full of power and authority. And they were received into the hearts of people that made a difference. Strongholds come broken down. They heard the words of heaven breaking through on that day. The strongholds that broke came through to the brokenhearted. They heard words that broke through that came to the captives. They heard words that came through to the blind and the oppressed. Isn't this our target audience this morning? Isn't this? I lift you up and encourage you to that place to know that that is our plan and our purpose. To make disciples out of that. Write that scripture down. Read it. And then when you're quiet in your own home, then you can sit there. Lord, I want this. I believe I've got a part in this. Show me my plan. Show me my purpose. Let it be that the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. So that we can say then, Lord, your scripture is fulfilled this day. I've done everything you've asked me to do. Now it's your turn. Do the rest. Build your church. And whatever decision is made to put me off up until now will be dismissed in Jesus' name. Church, are we ready to fulfill scripture this morning? Are we ready to stand as a body and as a group of people today and say yes, so the world can look on? Look, that's the same group of people that were there last year, and there was only a handful of them. Look at it now. There's two handfuls of them. Maybe. That's all right. Don't dismiss it. When Elijah sent the boy out, when God said, send out, there's rain on the way. He didn't hear it, he didn't hear a thunderstorm, he didn't hear anything. But he still sent the boy out, and he kept going, and he kept going. And then one day he came back and he said, I I've just seen a crowd as small as a man's fist. Hallelujah. It may start with small things. It may start with the ones and the twos, but it's going to gather momentum. Hallelujah. Because when the Spirit gives testimony to unbelieving hearts this morning, they will have no alternative but to see that it's from God and just to say, right, if you can do that, you know, if there's healing in the church, if there's lives that are transformed, let's get our testimonies out there. If you've been transformed by the power of God, speak of it. When there's unbelievers in the church, speak about it and tell people how you've been transformed by the power of God. Look at what was and look at what is now. Look at the difference God can make in your life. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. They were amazed. So I want to do something in a minute, and I just want to, and it all relates back to what Paul asked for prayer. And just opened up his heart. We're going to sing a chorus this morning. Two choruses, actually, that the Lord has just reminded me. Just asked the worship group to come back up. And could you sing this as well, Linda? Because the chorus is a bit high for me, but we'll try and do it as well. Generation.